Hey everybody, let's get started. Thank you for coming to this, the foundation session focused on web. I really appreciate you choosing to come to this session today. I know you had five other sessions to choose from. You probably paid a lot of money and traveled away from your home and family to be here. And it means a lot that you support the Microsoft Web Platform. My name is Bill Staples, and I'm the general manager for the Web Platform and Tools team at Microsoft. That means I get to lead and sometimes follow the engineers who build IIS, ASP.NET, our Visual Studio tools for web development, WebMatrix, MVC, NuGet, Orchard. I won't keep going. There's a bunch of projects we do, and I'll probably leave one out. But it's so great to be here to represent their work and talk to you about the investments we're making in the Microsoft Web Platform. You know, as I reflected on this session and what I would present, I thought about all of the great innovation that we've delivered this past year. And I've been at Microsoft now almost 12 years, and I can honestly say this past year has been phenomenal in terms of the amount of new technology and new innovation we've released. It spans the entire spectrum, things from server investments with WebFarm Framework and the application request routing features that make it easier to manage IIS in a cluster in a data center environment and scale out web applications. Our IIS Media Services investment for high-definition streaming of video and audio content. It's the technology that powered the Olympics last time and Sunday Night Football last fall and many other key online events. You know, we've introduced a new category of web development tools with WebMatrix and IIS Express that make building websites really easy and streamlined, and a new programming model along with that, ASP.NET Web Pages and the Razor syntax. We've also invested in our professional development tools and frameworks with updates to Visual Studio 2010 and MVC and NuGet. We've embraced open source in ways which we've never done before, introducing Orchard CMS as an open source project, NuGet as an open source packaging and distribution system. So the amount of innovation is really quite phenomenal. And what I wanted to do today is kind of give the landscape view of that, give you the big picture view of the Microsoft Web Platform and the various investments we're making, so that you have that foundation to then decide maybe a few areas of interest that you want to drill down on the rest of the week. We've got more than a dozen sessions here at TechEd representing this work, and hopefully you'll find two or three of them interesting, if not more, to go dive down in. I've got at the end of the session today a slide that can point you to all the other sessions that you might want to go attend. So as I thought about where to start, I figured we'd get started with developer tools. Let me ask a question to kind of get a better sense from where you're coming from. How many people in the room, by raise of hand, have built a website? It doesn't have to be your full-time job. Maybe it's a personal website. Maybe it's family or church. Okay, great. And I can't see the people in the overflow room, but I assume it's probably representative. I think almost everyone raised their hand. Okay, let me get a feel then. How many people here are also, you know, manage the website or the web server? It doesn't, again, have to be your full-time job, but part of what you do is manage that website or web server. Wow, okay, almost everyone in the room. That's a great representation of what we see a lot, which is sometimes you play the developer role, sometimes you play the IT professional role, sometimes you play both, depending on what you're doing. A lot of websites, web applications are being built, and you probably need a variety of tools to get the job done, depending on what you're trying to accomplish. You know, I kind of liken it to photography. I'm an avid photographer, and I've invested a lot of money in my high-end Nikon digital SLR and the lenses that go along with it. And I've spent a lot of time doing photography, landscape photography. I've done weddings. I've done portrait photography for people. And I love pulling out that big Nikon SLR and shooting high-quality photos. But guess what camera I carry with me most of the time? My cell phone. Yeah, people are raising it up. My cell phone. And it has a camera in it, too. And I use it all the time. In fact, I take some of my best pictures with my cell phone camera, which I didn't even buy with the intent of using it as a camera. I bought it to be a cell phone. And it's no less of a camera, well, maybe in some regards, but in terms of function, in terms of getting stuff done, my phone camera is just as effective sometimes because it's lightweight, it's simple, it's easy to use, and it's always there with me. When it comes to developer tools, the same kind of principles apply. We have Visual Studio, which is our professional development tool. It's like the Nikon SLR with all the buttons and knobs and features that you can customize and tune. It's the professional development environment that has great things like source control and team features like project tracking and bug tracking and tasks. And then we've also now introduced Web Matrix, which is kind of like my phone camera, which is simple, easy to use, it's lightweight, and it's focused on building sites quickly. It's also a great environment if you're new to web development, or if you're just trying to get something done quickly. It might be a great way to get started doing web. I wanted to spend a little bit of time introducing Web Matrix since it's brand new. Let me ask the question, how many people here have already heard about Web Matrix? If you can raise your hand. Okay, about 40% or so. How many people have had a chance to use Web Matrix already? Raise your hand. Okay, even fewer, maybe 10, 15%. Well, great, then. I'm going to introduce you to Web Matrix, and you can check it out when you get a chance. It's a completely free tool. You can download and try today on Microsoft.com/web. And we introduced it in January. So version 1 is now available. And it really is focused on streamlining that experience of getting a website up and running. This could be a website for inside the firewall, if you're trying to build out a quick team website or a blog or something departmental inside your enterprise. It could also be a public internet site. Say you want a personal website, a blog, a website for your community or your church. It can also, help build front-end websites for even bigger kinds of web applications. To help streamline the development process, though, we've really focused on kind of three scenarios: creating sites, customizing them, and then publishing them. And to help bootstrap the creation process, we've integrated open source applications and templates to help make the process go really quick. And I'll show that off today. Web Matrix includes everything you need to get started building, creating, and publishing web applications. So Web Matrix, the development tool, includes IIS Express. This is a version of IIS that includes all of the latest features needed for web development, but it has a few key changes from the IIS you may be familiar with on the server. First of all, it runs standalone as a process on the box, not as a service that you have to net start W3 SVC. It launches automatically with the web development tool. It goes away when the web development tool closes. It is, in other ways, just like the IIS service you know and love. It runs ASP.NET applications. It runs PHP. It has URL rewriting. It's got all the great features of IIS 7.5 in a small package. The other key thing I'll mention about IIS Express and Web Matrix is it's available on all Windows platforms. So if you're running Windows XP, Windows 2003, or the latest versions of Windows 7 and Windows 2008 R2, we've got Web Matrix support for you. So no matter what version of Windows you run, check out Web Matrix. The last component of Web Matrix is the database. And to make database super simple, we've added SQL Compact. This is an embedded database. It's only a couple megabytes in size, but it actually installs with the application in the application's directory, so you can copy the database along with the application from your development environment up to the web server that hosts the website, which makes deployment super easy, makes it really easy to program against because you're not worried about identities and services associated with the broader SQL server. But then when you're ready, you can migrate the schema and the data from SQL Compact right up to SQL Server or even SQL Azure running in the cloud and have a full production database behind your web application. So Web Matrix has basically three ways to get started, and you'll see this in the demos we're about to do. You can basically start a website from scratch using open source, and we've integrated into Web Matrix the Web Application Gallery. If you haven't seen the Web App Gallery, go to Microsoft.com/web/gallery, and it's basically a community of applications that we've worked with all of the partners in the community with to provide support for inside the Microsoft development tools. All the popular open source apps are there, so Drupal, WordPress, .NET Nuke, Umbraco, Screwturn Wiki, Joomla, whether they're ASP.NET or PHP apps, those communities have stepped up and they provide support through the app gallery for getting started in WebMatrix. The other way you can get started with WebMatrix development is by using a template. Inside WebMatrix, we've introduced a set of templates that make learning web development really easy. And if you want to build a site from scratch, it kind of helps you by providing some template code to get started. And I'll be demonstrating that later today as well. The other thing you can do with WebMatrix is point at any folder. So if you've gotten source code from a friend or a developer's handed it off to you to maybe customize or theme, you can just point WebMatrix at that folder and it will start it up as a website, and you can start adding files or customizing files in the directory yourself. I mentioned integration with AppGallery, and here's just a few of the many applications that are available from the AppGallery through WebMatrix. So if you recognize any of these or use them today, you can be assured that there's support in WebMatrix for them. How many people have heard of Orchard, the Orchard CMS project? Okay, only, again, about maybe 15, 20%. Orchard is a new open source project that Microsoft founded, and it's available through the Outer Curve Foundation. Orchard is a great way to build out either an intranet team site or an internet website for blogging or for any kind of content. And here to demonstrate it today, I've invited a couple of friends. First, I'll have Drew come up. You might recognize Drew from the keynote. He's going to show off WebMatrix and Orchard.
I didn't get a chance to change from the keynote close.
That's okay.
So I'm looking a little odd here. Cool. So, great. As you mentioned earlier, you know, a lot of us build websites beyond just the things that we do as part of our kind of professional jobs. So we build websites on the side. In this case, today, this morning, I'm going to use Orchard CMS to build a website for a floral shop. So just a typical thing, do it as a moonlighting job or whatever. And I just want to create this quickly, and I don't want to worry about the infrastructure in this case. So we'll go ahead and do that. So what I'm going to do is launch WebMatrix. And as you had mentioned earlier, there's a couple different ways you can create applications. So I can create an application from the web gallery, I can create from a template, or I can create from a folder that's already on my machine. And in this case, we're actually going to create from gallery. And you can see here many of the open source applications that are available in the web application gallery. And of course, one of those is Orchard CMS. And so we'll call this Florist and click Next. And that will install Orchard CMS. In addition, that's going to pull down any dependencies that are required for Orchard CMS as well and install those on my machine. So that in just a few seconds, I have Orchard CMS running locally and I can customize it before I deploy it out to a hosting provider. And we can go ahead and launch this right away. And we're presented with the Orchard CMS welcome screen, which is just asking me for a few questions here. What do I want to call the site? We're actually going to call this developer's florist. And we'll give our admin a password and confirm that. We'll choose to use the built-in database, SQL Server Compact, that you were talking about. And we'll also use the default recipe. Now, these recipes are just instructions for Orchard that have a configuration prepared for you. So there's the default recipe, there's a blog recipe, there's a minimal recipe if you'd like to start from scratch and build up. And you can also contribute these recipes as you come up with scenarios that build well on top of Orchard CMS as well. So just in a few seconds there, I'm now at the Orchard CMS site with the example content and the default theme. And so the first thing we want to do for our flower shop is change the appearance to look like what we want it to appear for customers. And so we'll click on the dashboard. And the dashboard is just the place that you manage content and features and configuration for Orchard. And what we want to do is apply a theme. And there's a great set of themes that are available in the gallery. But there's also a really cool tool from a company in Portugal called Bind. And Bind has this tool called Bind Tuning that allows me to start with a template but then customize it so it's unique for my site. And so I'm going to start with this template here. And I'm going to tell it, customize this for Orchard. And then what I can do is change things like the colors in the theme. And I'll pick this My Flowers one. I can also go in and change the background And so I'll select this floral pattern here. And you can change text styles and menus and things like that. Once you're done customizing, you click Submit My Request, you fill out the information, and the Bind Tuning Tool will build your custom theme and send it to you in email. And so I've already done that earlier. And so let's go back into, shouldn't have done that. Let's go back into Orchard and actually install this theme from my hard drive. So we'll browse for that, and we'll install it. So that's actually uploading the files from the theme that Bind Tuning sent me. And now that theme is available, and I can set that to my current theme. So once that's set, we'll go back to the site. And you can see in just a few moments, we were able to go from the default theme to something that's dramatically different. And it looks pretty good. And now we just need to get some products represented on the site. So let's go back into the dashboard. And we're going to install a couple modules. And modules are just extensions that have functionality that you can download. And we can find several modules that have been contributed by both Microsoft as well as the community in the gallery. And what we want to do is install two. And the first one is called the e-commerce sample. And this is just something we built in order to represent a product in the Orchard database. And you can go ahead and download this and play with it yourself. And then another module that we want to use is one that we released along with Amazon.com Retail Services a few weeks ago that allows you to integrate checkout by Amazon within your site. So we'll install that as well. After installing those, you'll notice that there's a few new things over in the admin menu. There's a product content type as well as the Amazon module. And what we want to do is create a list of products. So I'll say we want to have a new list, and we'll call this our seeds list. And we'll say it's going to contain product. We want to show it on the main menu of our site, and we also want to show it in the admin menu so we can easily manage the products later on. So we'll click Save, and now we see the seed list actually appear here. And so I'll create a new product, and at this point, you're going to realize my mother ran a flower shop for 10 years, and I've picked up a lot of knowledge from her about flowers. So I'm going to call this one the pink flower, and we're going to describe this as this flower is pink. All right? And we'll make that 12, and then we need to pick an image to represent this product. Now, we don't have any images in our Orchard CMS yet, so let's actually create a folder to hold those. And then what we can do is use a nice little convenience feature in Orchard, which allows me to package a bunch of images into a zip file and upload them all at once. So I'll upload those, and now I've got several flowers that I can include here. And let's see. Can anyone tell me, is that flower pink? Is it close enough? Okay, we'll just insert that one. All right, great. So we have a product in our database now, stored in Orchard CMS. To get the rest of the products in here, we're going to use an import-export feature. And the import-export feature lets you export content from one site and import it into another, which, again, is great if you're doing a lot of these CMS sites on the side and you have kind of the starting points that you want, you can get up and running quickly on each new site you create. And so I'll import my products. And we'll go back to the product list, the seed list. And you can see now I have several products shown. And then let's just go back to the site and see that we have the products showing on the site as well. There's the seeds menu option that I said I wanted to have. Click that. And now I've got a product list. But I still don't have a way for people to purchase these products. So let's go back and leverage that the Amazon module. And so I have the Amazon module installed, and I have the product content type installed, but I need to connect the two. And so to do that, I'm going to go into an area called content types. And content types let you customize any of the content types that are represented in the Orchard database. And so in this case, I actually want to edit, I want to edit the product content type, and I want to add a new part to it. And a part just, several parts make up a content type. They're just different parts of the definition of the type. And so in this case, I want to add the checkout by Amazon button to this product type. We'll click Save. And then if we go back to my site and click on Seeds, you'll see that I have now a Checkout by Amazon button on each product. In fact, if I pick, we'll pick this orange flower, and we'll say we're going to check out with the orange flower, and I'm rerouted to Amazon. I can type in my password. And then if you've bought anything from Amazon before, you recognize this checkout screen. And so this gives me a nice trusted checkout facility for my site that I can use here. So I can place that order, and it takes me back to Orchard. So in just a few minutes, we were able to go from a default Orchard CMS site to having a product list on our site to a nicely themed site, as well as the Checkout by Amazon buttons. And we're ready to go ahead and deploy this. And I think you're going to cover deployment a little bit later.
Yeah, just one question. What if I wanted like a shopping cart and more sophisticated e-commerce kind of capabilities? Does that take a lot more work? Or?
Yeah, so you can either, there's a couple shopping carts that are in the gallery, but the Checkout by Amazon actually includes their own shopping cart that you can add, and it actually is, it's really easy. So you add it, and the buttons change to add to cart, and that function is built in for you.
Awesome. So. Thanks so much, Drew. Great job.
Thank you.
It's kind of amazing what you can do with open source and a web browser nowadays, right? We just built an entire site from scratch, themed, customized shopping cart, all with a click of the button through the browser, no code necessary. You'll notice a theme today as we talk. We're going to start with the simple and easy to do, and we're going to go gradually more sophisticated as we go throughout the session. So let me talk a little bit about web development. Let's say you want to take it the next step and you want to start customizing pages, customizing applications. You're going to want to do that through code. And with ASP.NET, we essentially have three ways of going about that. I was talking to a few people beforehand, before we got started today, and I heard a few developers here who are using MVC3 or about to start using it, and I heard some developers also using ASP.NET Web Forms. Both those models have been around for a while. Of course, ASP.NET Web Forms has been around the longest. It's how ASP.NET got started. And it provides a really familiar model for doing web development, particularly if you've done desktop development in the past with VB or WinForms. You'd find the page model and controls of the web form model very intuitive and easy to use. We then introduced ASP.NET MVC, which is focused on more of an agile model of development with clear separation of concerns between the M, the V, and the C. In other words, for those who aren't familiar with MVC, the model, the view, and the controller. The model being sort of the data behind the application, the view being the presentation of it through the browser or other clients, and the controller being the business logic. And the theory here is that you want really clean separation in the code between those three entities. And MVC provides a model for doing that. In just a few minutes, we'll have Jonathan come up, another one of my friends here at Microsoft, to demo how to build an MVC application from scratch. The third model that we just introduced along with WebMatrix is called the ASP.NET Web Pages model. And again, just like WebMatrix, it's focused on being really simple, lightweight, and fast for customizing a web page. One of the things that came along with ASP.NET Web Pages is the Razor syntax. Razor syntax is a new syntax that makes it really easy to interleave HTML code with server-side code. And the Razor syntax is available not only in ASP.NET Web Pages, but it's also available in ASP.NET MVC. And in fact, with MVC 3, it's the new default view engine with MVC 3. So you can start learning web development, if you're not familiar with it, with ASP.NET Web Pages, and your code and the concepts that you learn there carry forward into MVC 3. The Razor syntax itself is pretty simple to grok. If you're familiar with HTML, you'll notice I've got an unordered list here, a snippet that gets started. The at symbol recognizes or identifies where the code block starts, the server-side code block. And so we've got a for each loop here, var p in products. We're going to loop through each of the products in this list. Notice that the code ends here. We've got another HTML tag. There is no closing code delimiter. The syntax, the parser here, the code parser, is smart enough to know when you are leaving code and starting HTML. And if you haven't used Razor before, that may seem magical. And in fact, it is pretty amazing that it actually works. But it actually works really, really well. And it saves a lot of keystrokes and is very, very intuitive to get going with if you haven't tried it before. I highly recommend checking it out. In this list item here, you notice we've got the HTML list item tag, and then we start code again, the product name, and then we've got back to HTML text with the parentheses and the dollar sign. You can kind of see the HTML representation down here. Then we go right back to code, displaying the dynamic price value from the list, and then back to HTML with the closing parentheses and list item. And then we're also able to have, close that code block with just the curly brace here. It's smart enough to know that closing corresponds to that opening. Along with the syntax comes a set of helpers. These helpers are available, again, in ASP.NET web pages and also ASP.NET MVC. And they basically package up or encapsulate common web development tasks. For example, if you've ever wanted to add, a Facebook like button to your page, or maybe a Twitter feed, or maybe PayPal checkout, or Groupon, Foursquare, you can literally add those capabilities with a single line of code or a few lines of code in some cases, making web development and integration with some of these services super, super easy. To kind of show that off, I'll take web development the next level here with WebMatrix, and we will build a site using one of the templates that comes with WebMatrix. Drew, I'm going to go ahead and close your beautiful flower shop here. Thanks for that demo. Let's go back here to the start menu. I'll give you kind of the tour of WebMatrix as we do this. We're going to go ahead and start a site from the template. As I said, let's start a bakery-based site. I like this template because it's pretty simple and shows off a lot of the concepts of WebMatrix. I can go ahead, once I've installed the template, created the site, I can click Run. And you'll see it's basically, got a featured item here and then a list of bakery goods available in my store. That's the home page. I can click on the About page, and you'll see it's got, a little blurb about me. You notice the URL here comes with clean URLs by default, ASP.NET web pages. Very clean, no extensions, very easy to do out of the box. I can click on Order Now. For example, let's say we want the carrot cake, and it's got a basic entry form for putting in my details. I can see this is ballroom one, I think. Let's order, anybody want one of these carrot cakes? Let's have 700 come. Oh, and with that, it's emailed my order to whoever owns this application, and I'm in business. A couple of things I'd like to improve about this application. One thing I'd like to do is have a Facebook like button so that as people are ordering, they can see which of their friends have ordered and liked this item, so they can like it and share it with their friends as well. I'd also like to do some checking here. The quantity doesn't really take into account my available inventory. I might not have 700 carrot cakes on hand. And so it'd be nice if it could actually check to see how many are available. It'd also be cool to be able to accept payment. I don't know if my credit card can hold 700 of these. It'd be nice to actually accept payment in the process of the order so that I know for sure before I send my delivery guy out to deliver 700 of these that the guy can actually afford it. So let's add those three things to this site with WebMatrix. First, let me give you a quick tour of WebMatrix and how it'll help you do those kinds of things. This is what we call the site page. And the site page is basically a landing page for your site. You can notice it surfaces some pretty familiar tasks like browsing the files associated with your project, managing the databases, or running reports. Quick links here to the URL to browse the site or the physical location of all the files. You can also click on this requests feature. And this is a server-side view of the requests that have been made to your web application. So I can actually see all the requests that were just made as I browse through demonstrating the site. You can see the elapsed time for each of the requests. I can, for example, filter out all the images and see just the URLs that were requested and filter out errors. Looks like my site's working just fine, no errors so far. Web Matrix also surfaces some basic configuration for the website, so I can change the bindings here for the URL. If I want to test it under a different set of configuration, I can enable SSL, make sure it works with SSL. I can change the .NET framework version or enable PHP. Basic configuration tasks there. When I go down to files, I get the files view, and I can go ahead and open up, a few code files. It's got syntax coloring support for all kinds of code, HTML, JavaScript, CSS. It also supports ASP.NET and PHP right here in the editor. And I've got the basic editor functions you'd expect, and also a launch Visual Studio button. So if I want to go back and forth with this project between Web Matrix and Visual Studio, click that button, it'll open up the project in Visual Studio, and I can get the full power of Visual Studio along with it. On the Databases tab, I'm able to open up and manage in a very simple way any database that's associated with the application. In this case, we've got the bakery SDF file. That's a SQL compact database, that embedded database I mentioned earlier. And I can open up tables. I can see the definition of tables. I can even open up a query here and do ad hoc queries. So select star from products, say. Let's go ahead and execute that. And test out the code, the SQL statements I might want to use in my application right within the tool. One of the things that I wanted to do is check stock, right? I wanted to make sure we have enough items. Right now, I don't have a field, I don't have a column for stock. So let's go ahead and add one. I'm going to go to the definition view, add new column, and let's call this column stock. And let's make it an integer, default value 0, and save that. Now when we go back to the data view, we see we've got the stock in there, all of them defaulted back to 0. Let's add 10 of those, and 5, and the chocolate cake is always 0 because I eat all the chocolate cake. So we'll just leave it there. And now we've automatically added a column to our database, added some sample data. We're ready to start developing. One other feature I wanted to show off is this Reports tab before we go on to write some more code. The Reports tab is pretty cool in that it will actually run a simulation of your website and then tell you how the website's doing in a few important ways. So for example, I can go ahead and run one here. And it'll go ahead and run the background. It actually crawls the website and looks for search engine optimization or performance issues with the website. So I can click on one of the warnings here. And look, it shows me, hey, the About page and all of these other ones are missing the metadata description tag. And search engines use this to help index your site, so you might want to go add it. And it makes a recommendation for how to go ahead and do that and tells you, where, how to go add that description. I can also come up here and click on the performance view of my website. And it shows all of the URLs sort of ordered by load time. And I can filter and see, man, my site's pretty darn fast right here locally. None of the web pages right now are taking up a lot of time. All of them are less than a quarter of a second. But I can see actually which ones are taking the longest and maybe go take action to fix those. Well, I promised we'd go ahead and edit, customize the application, so let's go on to that. Let me show a couple of concepts associated with ASP.NET web pages. First of all, this About page is pretty simple. You saw that earlier. Let's go ahead and run it again. You'll see it's got a short description, basically, of my coffee shop, and it's got the About and the Home link. That's done in ASP.NET web pages using the following. First, it's got this page title. The page title is set to About Us. You'll notice, though, I don't have the Home or the About Us link. It goes straight on to this content here. The content is set, and the title is set, by using this page start file. The page start file basically runs at the start of every page request. So every time a page is requested, this code is run. And the only thing this code says right now is to load my site layout. The site layout file, then, includes the header, so including all the styling and the top-level navigation, as well as the footer at the bottom of every page. You see the copyright mark there. So without having to write the header and the footer on every single page, I can simply reference the site layout with the page start event, and all of my pages that I create will automatically look the same. Another way that this can be done, which is fairly common, is you can actually create a header file and a footer file, and then on every page, reference that, include that at the top and the bottom of every page. But I like this method because I write it once and I don't have to remember to include the header and footer on every page. It's just automatic. Let's go to the default page for just a second. We'll click on that. You remember we have the featured item and we have this list view. So if we go back to that, you'll notice we've got, again, page title at home. And then we do a simple database query, database.open bakery. So it looks in the app data for that bakery file. If it doesn't find it, it looks in web.config for a connection string with the name bakery. And then we do a simple query, select star from products and put it in a list and then choose a random product to use as the featured product. And then down below, we've got that for each loop I showed earlier and basically a loop through that list of bakery items to show the image, the description, and the price. And an order now button. So that's how easy it is to build a home page. Let's go ahead and customize this order page now. I'll open up the order page. And first thing let's do is add the Facebook like button. Now, I don't actually have the Facebook capability yet installed here with my site. I need to get that. I also need the PayPal capability. This is where the helpers come in. So if we go back to site, this handy link, ASP.NET Web Pages Administration, surfaces to me a feed, a gallery of helpers that are available. So let's search for Facebook. What do we have from Facebook? And sure enough, a Facebook helper. Let's install that. And we need the PayPal one as well. PayPal helper. Go ahead and install that. And if I come back to my files view now and refresh, you'll notice a whole bunch of new directories appear. We've got an app code directory with Facebook code in it. We've got a Facebook directory with some of the dependencies and also a PayPal helper directory with the PayPal code in it. So again, I didn't have to worry about getting those, downloading them, installing them in the right places. It did it for me. And that's using the NuGet technology that I'll talk about in just a minute. So I've got those on. Now let's go ahead and add Facebook like button to my page. Right here after the product name, I'm going to say at Facebook.like button and save that. With one line of code, I can come back to our order form here and refresh. And what do you know? We've got a like button. And I'm not signed in right now or else I'd see what my friends had liked before. But with one line of code, using that helper, boom, you've got a like button. Easy as that. Now let's go ahead and take into account the stock when we're showing this place order button. I'd really like to hide the place order button if there's no more available. So to do that, let's scroll down in our code here and look for where the order button is. There we go. Input type submit place order button. So let's write some code here. Let's say at symbol again, if product.stock is greater than zero, go ahead and show that place order button. Else, maybe we say span, sorry, we're out of stock, please choose something else. And I can save that. We come back to our code now, refresh. And as you remember, the lemon tart, we had some inventory in, but it was the chocolate cake we were out of, so let's choose that. And there we go, no more order button. Instead, we get the error message telling the user to choose something else. So easy as that, we've taken a new field into account in our code. All right, last part. Let's go ahead now and add the PayPal checkout. To do that, I'm going to show off one other trick I had to do before the demo to kind of speed things up. In the app start page, this is basically when the app first starts, some initialization that happens. I had to initialize my PayPal account, essentially, with the application. These are things that PayPal provides you when you sign up to be a vendor with them. So those are in there now, so I can come back to my code and look for this handy to-do statement that has room for a snippet that I'm not going to type out. I'll just insert that in. Basically, it's just executing the simple PayPal method. And with that, I can go ahead and save and come back. And we're going to have to choose something else since the chocolate cake is out of, let's order the pear tart. And come back here and put in is it Georgia Ballroom 1? Let's go ahead and order one of those. And check that out. We get redirected to PayPal now. I can log in with my PayPal identity. It shows I've got a balance of $20 in there, so I can afford that. Click Pay, and there we go. We're back at the fourth coffee order site, just processed the PayPal identity. So with a few lines of code, we've added PayPal, we've checked inventory, we're showing Facebook like integration, and that's going to drive a lot more business to this particular website. Last step, what if I wanted to take this site and put it online, put it on the internet? WebMatrix, as I mentioned, makes deployment super easy. If I click on publish here, it knows I haven't yet associated a web server with my local site, so I need to do that. One of the cool things that we've done is integrated this Find Web Hosting. If you don't have a web server yet, you can click that button, and we've worked with all of our hosting partners to surface offers here on the Microsoft.com site where you can find shared hosting, virtual dedicated hosting, or dedicated hosting directly from them. And you can click the Learn More button to go ahead and order. Once you've signed up with one of our hosting partners then, you can also import the publishing settings. A new feature with WebMatrix is they basically can send you a file that has all the connection information to publish to their server. So I've done that, and I can go ahead and import that. This is a site that will be hosted at Applied Innovations. And I can click View, Validate Connection, and it'll actually connect up to the server and make sure that it's able to connect successfully. Once I've done that, I click Save. And the cool thing about WebMatrix as well is it'll check the server to make sure it can actually run the application I've built. So it'll check some dependencies and make sure things are online. With that, I can click Continue. And I'm using WebDeploy technology to deploy with. That's a technology from Microsoft that makes publishing super powerful. It can check this local development site, difference it with the remote site, and see which changes have been made locally or remotely. And then it can synchronize the two. So if I've made changes here locally, it'll detect those and only push the changes up to my server. And if I make changes remotely on the server, it'll detect those and pull them back down to my local development environment so I can keep them in sync. The other really cool thing about WebDeploy is it publishes not only the files, but also the databases. In this case, we have the bakery database, which is an embedded file in my app. But what if I was using SQL Server or MySQL? WebDeploy actually exports the schema and data for those and can also publish the schema and data up to my web server, making that super simple. So I'll go ahead and click Continue. And with that, I've got TechEd Bakery online. I can click it, and there we go. Our website's now running up on my server here. So hopefully that gives you a good feel for WebMatrix and the kind of simplicity and the kind of possibilities that it offers. Go to Microsoft.com/web and check it out and download it today. Let's move along now and talk about the ASP.NET MVC3 development model. I mentioned before we shipped an update to that in January and then a refresh just a month ago. The MVC3 project had a lot of cool new features, but some of the highlights were this Razor View engine that I just showed off, integrated in by default. And we also shipped Visual Studio support for Razor, so you get full IntelliSense for that Razor code right inside Visual Studio. A month ago, then, we shipped an update, which includes HTML5 templates, a jQuery and Modernizer integrated into MVC3 by default, support for Entity Framework, and scaffolding right within MVC3. We also have been working with the open source community to surface libraries of code, both to WebMatrix users as well as MVC3 users, through this technology called NuGet. NuGet basically allows developers to package up code libraries and share them with the world. Here's the stats.nuget.org site. You'll see we're up to almost 750,000 downloads of packages since we launched this just a few months ago, and already 1,500 unique packages. And 18 have already been added just today with 570 downloads just the last hour. Check out NuGet.org to check out all the kinds of libraries that are available and how you can contribute if you've got some code you want to share. Let me go ahead and welcome up on stage my friend Jonathan, who's going to talk about MVC3 and maybe build an app from scratch. What do you think, Jonathan?
That sounds good. Thanks, Bill. So all of what we've seen so far was really nice, but some of us may be real developers and we're not doing foo-foo stuff
real
like bakeries. Who builds a bakery anyway, right? And Drew with that florist. I mean, come on. And my machine is locked even though it was not supposed to be. All right. So what I would love in a perfect world is to have complete flexibility over my code base, using Visual Studio, feeling great, but still having some of the same simplicity features that you saw in Bill's demo and Drew's as well, right? So things like Razor, NuGet, SQL Server Compact, so I'm not just completely lost. And with MVC3 and the tools update that Bill just talked about, you have a really great experience. So what we wanted to do is we didn't really have a scenario, and we thought, you know, hey, we wanted something that was really relevant for this audience, so maybe if anybody has some kind of idea for an app that we should build, something simple but relevant, right? Expense reports, time tracker. If nobody has anything,
somebody volunteer. What's the app you're going to build next? You want Jonathan to
the next
stub
hot
out for you?
Social app.
And it's got to include two kind of things that are related to each other. Yeah, I saw a hand back there. Tech Ed scheduling application, so we can track his sessions.
Like speakers and sessions, kind of a thing. Okay, that sounds pretty good. So the first thing we're going to do within Visual Studio, as we're all familiar with, let's go do a MVC3 application. Now, one thing you'll notice that's a little bit different when we come into this is there's a few additions to the project template. So you'll notice we have a new intranet application template, and that's great if you're doing an internal app that you want to have kind of Windows authentication already stubbed out for you. That's great for that. We're going to go ahead and do an internet app. Now, in addition to that, notice this new checkbox that allows us to specify, hey, any views that you generate for us out of the box, use the new HTML semantic elements. That way, we can have more richer semantics in our markup, and we can feel much better about ourselves as developers. And then also, let's use the Razor view engine there. So we'll go ahead and say OK. And for those that aren't too familiar with MVC, what I'm going to just do real quick is run this and kind of give you an idea of what this looks like out of the box, and then we'll extend it. Now, it turns out that we have a very similar structure to Bill's bakery here. We have a home and about, but this looks a lot cooler, in my opinion, with a bunch of lemon tarts and little buns and stuff. Now, one of my favorite features that came with the tools update is that when you create a brand new MVC application, you don't start completely from scratch. In fact, we give you a handful of NuGet packages that make your life much easier at the beginning, right? So you've already known that we shipped jQuery with MVC2, and we made that commitment to the open source community, but we've taken it even further, and now we're shipping Modernizer, which is this great open source library that makes it easy for you to detect the HTML5 capabilities of the requesting browser and have some down-level functionality. So if you want to start getting that reach of features but still having compatibility, you can. And then also Entity Framework 4.1. And what's great about this is that we can use the new code first functionality to define our model and then build our app from there, right? So the gentleman in the crowd mentioned tech ed scheduling. So what we want to do is let's think about our model as just a set of CLR classes. So I'm going to create a new code file. We'll call it tech ed. And what we're going to do is just say, okay, let's think about this from a class perspective. So we'll have a class called speaker, and they'll have an ID, and they'll have a string name. And we can probably keep that pretty simple. And then we'll have another class. We'll call this session. Make that public. And a session will be really simple as well. Let me scroll this down real quick. It'll be have an ID. It'll have a name. It'll have a level so people can know how advanced it is. And that's it, right? Now, in addition to that, we want to have a relation between those two. So you can say, well, what speaker's giving the session? So from the speaker, we can do another property. We'll say iCollection of sessions. And we'll call this sessions. Keep it simple. And then from the session, we want to be able to navigate back to the speaker. So we'll create a speaker property. We'll call that speaker. And then we'll just do a foreign key to make it really simple as well. And we'll say speaker ID. Now, what's great about this is that if you like to think through your problems as a set of code and as classes and kind of modeling it that way, then this is essentially all you have to do, right? We haven't talked about a database at this point. We haven't talked yet about the controllers or the views or all the other assets that you need. But with MVC3 Tools Update and Entity Framework, we can actually build out our app from this portion and then make modifications from there. So let's do one other quick change just to show other conventions we can do. So we know that a string is a nullable type, and so let's add a little bit more semantics to this model and say actually name is required, absolutely. Okay. So once we've done that, we need to create our controller and our views because we're using MVC. Now when we do this and we go into the add controller dialog, you notice that we now have this awesome functionality to say, you know, if I'm happening to use Entity Framework, and you know how that works, and I can tell you what class that I want you to model off of, there's a good chance you can build out a controller and views for me. And turns out that it can. And so let's go ahead and call this speaker controller. And for our model class, we'll select speaker. Now, we have to have a data context, which is essentially the thing that aggregates what collections of data represent your underlying data store. And we'll just call this TechEd context. Now, once I hit add, what it's going to do is look at that speaker class and say, OK, what properties does it have? And what conventions can we derive based on the properties and the types that we can use to generate the scaffolding? So if we look here, here's our speaker controller. And it looks no different than anything I could have coded up myself, but I wanted a head start, a little boost. So we have our index, our details. Notice that it was smart enough to know that the ID property was probably our primary key based on convention, right? And so it just worked. Now, if that wasn't the case, we could make the change. But in a lot of cases, these type of conventions will be very helpful for you. So we have create, edit, delete, so forth and so on. Now, if we come down, we also notice that it created all of our CRUD operation views as well. Create, delete, edit, index. If we look inside of there, there's nothing magical going on. It's the exact same Razor syntax HTML code that you would have written had you have done it yourself, but you didn't have to. So let's go ahead and also scaffold out the session controller as well. So I'll just select the session entity this time. It's pre-selected our data context, and we'll hit add. So at this point, all we did was define a few couple simple classes based on a model that was posed by the crowd, and we were able to then say, give us controllers and give us views from that. But we haven't talked about the database yet. And one thing I really loved about the Web Matrix kind of programmability model is that SQL compact database, super lightweight, really easy to distribute. And I want the same thing, even though I'm like a real developer in Visual Studio now, right? And so what we can do is leverage NuGet, the same exact thing that you saw in the previous demos, to say, let's go ahead and use SQL compact for this database. So let me go up to my references, say add library package reference. And what I can do is search for entity framework.sql server compact. And what we'll find is this really great little package that will aggregate all of the changes that need to be made to our application in order for entity framework to work with SQL Server Compact. So that's done. We don't have to make any code changes. All right. Now, what I want to do before I run this is I want to open up the app data folder and show you that there's nothing in it. So many of you that are ASP.NET developers are aware that, you know, app data, if you put your SQL Server Express files or SQL Server Compact files in there, it'll be easily consumable from with your app. And so this is where the Entity Framework will actually generate its database.
So you don't actually have to create the database, the schema, all
exactly.
the tables
yeah.
that Source creates it for you, huh?
We will see that work in just 2 seconds. So we created the speaker controller. So let's go to WAX speaker. And you notice here we get this view. Now, what's interesting is if anybody was quick enough, in fact, let me do this again. Let me delete this file. And I'm going to refresh this page and watch the app data folder. Oh, it's going to have a little problem with me because it was running already. Let me rerun it. I was too quick there. All right, let's go to speaker. Oh, really? What's the matter with this thing? Let me kill... Let's see here.
Kill it doesn't IIS like that Express. You deleted the database while
yeah.
we were running, huh?
Who knows? See, I was using IIS Express normally with, what? Let's see. Let me come back here. Whoa. All right. Found a little.
See, I think real developers probably don't delete databases while the app's
running. Yeah. Yeah, you're Touche, Bill, touche. All right, so let's watch the app data folder here.
Woo-hoo!
And there we go, right? So what happens is the first time that the Entity Framework queries the database and you didn't do something stupid like I just did, but a real developer knows how to debug, right? All right, so let's go say create new, and we have a very simple thing. Now, if I hit create, notice that it immediately gave us client-side validation, and that's because MVC scaffolding was smart enough to see the required field that we added to the name. So I'll just go ahead and add Bill here. Say create. Great, there's Bill. Now if I go to sessions, go to wax session, because that was the other entity type we added. Oh, got to spell that right. So we'll say create new. Now one thing that's really interesting about this, so we'll say web platform foundational session, and this is, I mean, this is a 500 level session.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Super deep.
Yeah.
Notice this, that it was smart enough to see that the association between speaker and session was a foreign key, and so it represented that for us as a drop-down list. So I don't have to know that Bill's ID was 2 in the database. I can just say, go ahead and create. So hit create there, and great. Now, once we've done that, though, what we also want to be able to note is that within Visual Studio SP1, we now have the exact same tooling experience that we had in Web Matrix. So I can go ahead and double-click on this database. Notice if I go into the tables, we see session speakers. It was smart enough to pluralize those names. If we go look at the columns, it made ID a primary key, speaker ID is a foreign key, and so forth and so on. And so what's nice about this is it allows us to build our app reasonably using the C# conventions and then use Entity Framework and MVC tooling to kind of help us bootstrap from there. So thank you very much.
Great job. Yeah. Thank you, Jonathan. All right, let me close now by talking a little bit about some of the server infrastructure investments we've been making to make deploying those great applications that we just built onto the server environment at scale. If you haven't heard about application request routing, this is a new extension for IIS. We're up to version 2.5 now that does HTTP level routing and load balancing as a native capability of IIS. You can essentially make IIS a dedicated router or load balancer for your cluster. And it will route based on HTTP, so you can say all static requests go to one set of servers, all dynamic requests go to another one. Or by URL segment, you can say /homepage goes here, /app goes there. It's got some really intelligent routing and load balancing capabilities built into it. WebFarm Framework then helps you manage the group of servers as a single entity. So you can add and remove nodes on the fly. You can orchestrate software updates. Say you want to roll out an update and drain one node at a time, install the server software, bring it back online, and do that in a rolling way across all the machines. WebFarm Framework can help you with that. It can also aggregate information like performance counters or log files across a set of machines. And it's also fully extensible. So if you want to collect custom data or information from each machine, it's got an extensibility model to help you do that. The other thing that we've been working on is easier deployment. You saw within Web Matrix, and also it's available within Visual Studio, the ability to package up and deploy web applications from within our tools. The same software is available on the server, and you can actually use it to synchronize servers. So if you've got, you know, one server that's a master with all the configuration and code on it that you've tested, and you want to replicate that out to a group of servers, WebDeploy can synchronize the entire server farm. And it works in conjunction with WebFarm Framework as well, so you can do that, you know, through the IIS Manager UI with just a few clicks. It not only can synchronize the content, but it can synchronize configuration, SSL certificates, you know, COM assemblies, databases, all of the dependencies of the application. And it's super easy to get and set up using WebPI. I'm going to have to wrap up here, so let me just conclude by expressing my thanks again for coming and spending this hour in the foundation session focused on web. I hope it was a good use of your time. If you have a moment, please fill out the feedback form and let us know what you think. I definitely read all the comments that you leave there and share them with the team as well. And we have a bit of a competition going, me among the other 5 other foundation sessions. So if you like what you saw, please don't hesitate to share your feedback. And thanks for being a part of the web platform.